Good morning, fellow sojourners. It is the 18th of December, 2023, and today's title for our teaching is Why Do You Seek a Sign? The other day, a friend and I were talking about healing and miracles and how many we had witnessed. It's interesting how, when you're put on the spot, you tend to forget, and you'll remember how, in a previous devotion, I addressed the importance of remembering what God has done in and around us, even if it means that you have to write it down. And so I left our visit feeling quite deflated, mainly because in my heart and with all my heart, I really do want to be a part of and witness these amazing things of God. After all, in Mark 16, verse 17, Jesus told us that we would see signs. He says, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed." They will recover, sorry. So if it's in the Bible, it can't be wrong to desire it. But it was then that I realized that, like so much in our Christian walk, I had to check the motive of my heart. Why did I want to see these things? Why was it so important to me? And hence the title, Why Do We Seek a Sign? In Mark 8, verse 11 to 12, there's an account where Jesus speaks to the Pharisees. He says, "Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, 'Why does this generation seek a sign?'" Can you sense his frustration? The sad reality is that we too are that generation. Like the Pharisees, we have head knowledge that Jesus exists, but in order to help our unbelief, we sometimes need proof. We live in a time where there is so much that is fake, and it's getting harder and harder to discern between what is real and what is fake. There has been such an increase in scams lately. There's sleight of hand and so much smoke and mirrors. Think of how popular magic has become over the last couple of years. And so, when there's a real miracle, people will go to great lengths to disprove them. In addition, there's also so much technology at hand to assist in the process of disproving them. And in actual fact, when there is a real miracle, often they blatantly alter the truth to show that it is not true. But let's go back to the Pharisees and look at why they so desperately needed a sign, because I think it's going to shed some light on why we do the same today. Interestingly enough, this account that I'm going to be speaking about now, where I read about the Pharisees, happened just after Jesus had fed the 4,000 with the 7 loaves and fish. But he had sent the people that were there away, he had gotten into a boat with his disciples. And it was on his arrival in the region of Dalmanutha that the Pharisees came out and disputed with him. And so we clearly see that they were not there to witness that exact miracle, but they had certainly heard about him, which is why they needed a sign. The Pharisees seeking from him a sign and from heaven testing him, we distinctly see that they did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And perhaps they hadn't met him or heard him. Perhaps it was literally just where he was proclaimed to be or was rumored to be. And so they wanted proof. They were operating in unbelief and they wanted to see something that would confirm that they what they were hearing. This really challenged me, because if you read the rest of that verse, Jesus asks, "Why does this generation seek a sign?" He says, "Assuredly, I say to you that no sign shall be given to this generation." So perhaps that's why we aren't seeing the signs and miracles we should be seeing according to the word. Because think about it, if the motive of my heart is that I need proof, then I too am operating in unbelief. I recently did an exercise and I worked through my whole Bible and looked for every single time the word belief, believed, or believer is found. And I can tell you that Jesus really addresses this topic a lot. And it's because it's the foundation of our very Christian faith. And so this is the key. In Mark 16, verse 17, we read, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name." When we back up just one verse to verse 15, we read, and please take note of the words. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Notice how many times he highlights the need to believe. In John 44, verse 48, and this is the story about the nobleman's son that is at the point of death and Jesus heals him. Heals him or raises him from the dead. It says, Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. And so we see that Jesus knows that this is part of our very human nature. I'm just going to look at a couple more accounts because there's many in the Bible where Jesus addresses it. In John 14, verse 8, he's speaking to Philip. Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Can you imagine that? They've been witnessing all these amazing things that God has done, Jesus has done, and yet they still want to see the Father. Jesus answers him and says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so, yeah, we see the exact same example of that. They needed more in order for them to believe. And then, of course, there's Thomas. Dear old Thomas. In John 20, verse 28 to 29, Jesus answers him and he says, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is where we need to be. We need to be able to believe irrespective of what we see. This is, of course, in response to Thomas's statement regarding the disciples having seen the Lord after his resurrection. This is his words. He says, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so my next question I want to pose is, how do we get to the point where we believe irrespective of seeing? And I think the answer is in that verse. I want to read that last section again. You know, he says, unless I see all these things, he says, I will not believe. He didn't say, I cannot believe. He said, I will not believe. And so we distinctly see there that belief is a choice. We choose whether we believe or not, irrespective of what we see. And that is what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, we need to get to a place where the world doesn't influence our faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we are in constant lookout for a sign, we actually increase our risk of falling into unbelief. Think about it. If there's no sign, there will be disappointment, and disappointment ultimately leads to doubt, which is unbelief. Compare the story we looked at about the nobleman's son, where Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs, you will not believe. Compare that to the story of the centurion when he came and asked God Jesus to heal his servant. He didn't need God Jesus to do anything. He just said, just say the words and my servant will be healed. And so there we see a very different level of faith or belief. Going back to the Great Commission verse, we read, and these signs shall follow those who believe. I want you to notice that it's very clear that the signs will follow those who believe and not the other way around. We shouldn't need the signs in order to believe. And so the anecdote is simple. Our focus should be on Jesus and that which he has asked us to do. Our relationship with God is the most important thing that we can focus on, and because it builds our faith to the point where we won't need any signs. We will just know. In Mark 11, verse 23, it says, for assuredly I say to you, that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and listen to this, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And so again, we see the stress on belief there. So let us choose today to believe so that we can be a different generation to the one that made Jesus sigh at their unbelief and need for proof. Have you ever tried to prove yourself to someone who doesn't believe what you're saying? Man, it is heartbreaking. In fact, it can be so frustrating. Imagine how Jesus feels. There are so many promises in the Bible when we believe. In closing, I want to look at, we can look at so many icons in the Bible and see that what transpired in their lives because of the fact that they believed without a sign. In fact, I want to ask you to take some time this festive season because it's definitely going to stir up your faith. But to finish off, I want to look at one particular case, and it's specifically because of the season that we're in. I want you to ponder on this. Other than her original encounter with God, and I want you to understand that we are able to encounter God every single day. But other than her original encounter with God, imagine if Mary had asked God for a sign instead of believing without one. Where would we be today? I pray that you have a blessed week, and as you get ready for Christmas, I really just pray a blessing over you. And until the next time we meet, I hope that you have an awesome time with your family, and I really pray that you'll all get some time to rest. We'll chat soon. Goodbye.